Let's go to clip number four here. This is Liz Alcock. She's the head of the humanitarian protection at Medical of PIDA. She describes how desperate the situation has become in Gaza. We're going to stick on this topic for a little bit. Here is Liz Alcock describing what exactly it's like in the Jewish slave state. Let's watch.
Exactly. People are exhausted. Many people have had to evacuate 10, 11, 12 times. And the impact for many now is that they won't move simply because they're exhausted. They're very hungry. There aren't the resources to be able to move. And there is nowhere to go. If they were able to move southwards, it's already oversaturated with people. There are no humanitarian services that are able to be delivered at the moment in a lot of these areas. So people are likely to stay put, to shelter in place, and to therefore be in the firing line, as we've seen with people being killed today, including our own security guard.
Liz, the situation has been described as catastrophic for so many months now. How would you describe it now? And crucially, what do you think needs to be done? What would you like to see done?
I am really lost for words at this point in time. People ask me how to describe the situation, and it's very hard to find the words that do justice to the gravity of the situation for people. I've been in this response for about a year and a half, and I've worked in many places around the world, and I've never seen anything like this, given the fact that it could be turned around at any point. If the borders were to open, if aid could come in, and if there was an immediate and permanent ceasefire and a political solution to provide a sustainable outcome for everybody in the region. So I know today that the government foreign secretaries in a number of countries issued a strong statement of condemnation. And while we welcome this, there have been statements for the last 21 months and nothing's changed. In fact, things have only gotten worse. And every time we think it can't get worse, it does.
Every time we think it can't get worse, it does. That seems like the general sentiment for the last 2 years, almost at this point, that the retaliation against Gaza has taken place. Israel, meanwhile, is currently detaining 350 Palestinian children and has detained over 13,000 since the year 2000, and 86% of those children have faced torture, beatings, or solitary confinement. They're the good guys, right? And if you don't like them, you have to starve to death. And it would be one thing, again, if this was just Israel doing their thing and, like, whatever. The problem is that they control our country to an extent that's kind of hard to even imagine. This is from Ail Thimpler. I'm not even sure how to... Ail the Impler? I don't know. There is, in fact, something we might call Trump's law. Any action done by Trump is done for the benefit of Israel in some way. Thus, the attacks on South Africa back in May, which were ostensibly about the ANC's persecution of Afrikaners, were actually because South Africa was the nation that lodged the case for genocide against Israel, the ICJ. Similarly, just this past week, Trump levied a 45% tariff on Brazil, ostensibly for its persecution of Jair Bolsonaro. In actuality, it's because Lula accused Israel of premeditated genocide a month ago. Once you spot this pattern, like understanding how a magic trick works, you will not be able to unspot it. Trump's law is total. That's from Academic Agent. And it's pretty true. It's pretty true, actually. If you look at pretty much anything Trump has done, good and bad, it's all for Israel. There's something I didn't, you know, point out with the South Africa thing, because I'm just glad, you know, the genocide of white farmers in South Africa is getting attention. But a lot of people were like, this is amazing. Like, what the hell? Trump has never stood up for white people. Why is he doing it now? Because it's about Israel. Because it's about putting pressure on South Africa to protect Israel. It's not about white people.
taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We got a lot more to show you still in the show. We'll talk a little bit about immigration and the real purpose behind it. Hunter Biden also did a crazy interview. We go to some clips of that, but honestly, like, who cares what this dude has to say? I guess we can go through just to sort of take, you know, his mindset as a example of what we're dealing with, the highest levels of our country. But I want to talk about immigration first, I do. And I think we'll start with a video from Tucker Carlson. This is clip number 8. It's just another example of yet another way that our system is operated entirely to the benefit of others, to the exclusion of our benefit. So here's Tucker Carlson talking about just one of 10 million programs explicitly designed to disadvantage the American people in favor of non-American people. Let's watch.
Why would we be helping foreign nationals buy in places where there's a housing crisis and the people who are born there can't find a house to live in?
Like, that's only one aspect of how the United States taxpayer is subsidizing this, what's happening here. About a third of the properties in the state of Maine that would go on to become illegal Chinese marijuana grow houses were purchased using mortgages through a program called the Community Development Finance Institution. It's a designation that you give to banks. The entire purpose of the program is to help marginalized communities access financing. The idea is that if you were an immigrant in the 1990s, you couldn't prove regular income. You had irregular finances and trouble accessing a mortgage. So they created this special program to take away some of the risk from the lender. So there's one bank in New York, Quantic Bank, that has the CDFI designation. And on their website, they advertise that they'll help non-citizens, foreign nationals, buy property in the United States. This bank advertised on...
I'm trying not to use the F word. Why would we be helping foreign nationals buy in places where there's a housing crisis and the people who are born there can't find a house to live in? Is going on?
And then why under COVID would we supercharge the program with an additional tranche of funding? Why would we put that program on steroids? I don't know. I know that it was exploited.
Because you want to kill the people you want to kill and replace the people who populate your country. Replace them with other people, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's literally no other reason. And again, it's not even like you can, like, quantify all of the various advantages that non-Americans accrue. Again, we've talked about just you got the TIN program, you've got the grants for non-American. We talked about the fact that, like, if you're an Indian immigrant and you want to create a gas station, you're getting at least $200,000 in interest-free loans that Americans are not qualified for, don't receive. Yeah, that is a hell of a lot of money. It's a hell of a lot of money, and it's just the seed funds for, you know, growth and prosperity infinitely. But it doesn't stop there, right? There's a number of different factors to this, or like angles to look at this in. For one thing, not only are you advantaging non-Americans, thereby disadvantaging Americans, because now they have to compete. It's a market, and they get a $200,000 head start. So you're disadvantaging Americans, making it harder for them to compete and to start their own business just by nature of precluding them from advantages that are given to non-Americans. But that's just one little minor disadvantage. It's also the fact that that money being given to the non-American is American taxpayer dollars. So it's also some portion of the money that's stolen from the hardworking, disadvantaged American is funneled to his competition, given better chance. The thing is, because every other ethnic group in America is allowed to, I don't even like using that word, but is allowed to have, you know, their own ethnic interests and political action committees and all that sort of stuff. What you're doing is creating a, you know, money generating machine for their community so that they can further advantage themselves in one way or another, right? So you get somebody that comes here from another country. They're basically given a gas station, because that's essentially what it means, right? Interest-free loans, just grants, gifts. We've talked about the way that they will then, you know, apply for EBT cards. And I mean, there have been like multiple scams exposed just in the last few days of Indian like networks that are just scamming the government programs for millions and millions and millions of dollars. And so they come here, they get given, basically the government is just saying, hey, first year's on us. First year's on us. We are covering your overhead for a year. It's going to cost you nothing. For a year, you're just raking in pure profits because we're covering all the expenses. And that, of course, gives them seed money, so they're then successful. They can then, you know, have a thriving business. They're taking in money. That money's going to their community. Some's being sent back to their homeland directly and just straight up sent out of the country. And the rest of it can be contributed to, like, you know, Indian community projects in this country, part of which means you're contributing to politicians who will then go into office, not in order to serve the wider American public, but explicitly as, you know, a contingent of your community. So then they get to go and argue for more immigrants and argue for more benefits and argue for more handouts and more interest-free loans. And so you create this self-perpetuating system of expropriation and exploiting the American people. And the question you have to ask is, how does this benefit our country at all, even a little bit? And of course, it doesn't. Which is why, as Tucker points out, the only reason that you would do this is because you hate the people that you're doing it to and you want them gone. In the exact same way that we talked about with the Somalis in Minnesota or anywhere else in this country for that matter, where you've got communities that are struggling mostly because of the decisions of the people in Washington to outsource all of their jobs overseas. So you've got these communities that were once upheld and made prosperous by a factory in their town or a mine or some other, you know, blue collar operation. Those go away. The people are struggling. Instead of doing anything to help the people that are there, instead of doing anything at all to help the people who lost their jobs start small businesses or in some other way deal with the catastrophic effects of the policy decisions they had absolutely no authority over, instead, they bring in hundreds of thousands of Somalis and pay for them to build up their community. They get all the grants. They get all the money. They get all the free stuff. They get all the businesses created. They get all the welfare. They get all the hospitals built for them. For them, not for the American people who are losing their houses, being foreclosed on because they just got laid off because their boss outsourced the factory to India in the first place. It's not an accident. None of this stuff is people trying their best to help America and just oopsie daisy, everybody's dead. Like, that's not how this works. It's all on purpose. It's all a giant scam screwing you over endlessly. It just goes on and on. And this is one of those things, right? Canada is dealing with a surge in thousands of cases of measles, far surpassing the U.S. raw numbers despite having a much smaller population. Canadian liberals have no RFK Jr. style figure to place all the blame on. And you can see the number of confirmed measles cases in Canada has skyrocketed to a really like kind of unimaginable degree. And Canada is blaming it on German Mennonites. As Pagliacci the Hated says, Canada is experiencing massive measles outbreaks, and health authorities are blaming the country's tiny population of German Mennonites so they don't have to look at the millions of immigrants flooding in from India, which is a global measles hotspot. Terminally retarded country. How Canada became the center of a measles outbreak in North America, and they point to Mennonites. Mennonites are a Christian group with roots in the 16th century Germany and Holland who have since settled in other parts of the world, including Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. Some live modern lifestyles, while conservative groups live simpler lives, limiting the use of technology and relying on modern medicine only when necessary. Oh, must be their fault. Meanwhile, Yemen, Pakistan, India, Kyrgyzstan, Afghanistan, these are the countries with the top 10 measles outbreaks, and they also happen to be Pakistan and India, the countries where Canada is receiving millions and millions of imports from. Do I need to expand on this? This is why... It's this type of stuff that... The fact that they would write this article and print this article... It's kind of evidence of how screwed we are. That they would write, like, that they have this situation that they want us to think they take seriously, right? A measles outbreak. Oh my God, they're horrified at the measles outbreak. And then they deliberately cover up the actual source of the measles outbreak because they're interest, their, you know, mission here is not to actually stop the measles outbreak. You see the measles outbreak and they think, ah, a chance to attack white Europeans. Even though it's not the cause of the measles outbreak, they have to cover up the negative effects of their policies because they want the policies to continue because they have negative effects. Do you understand what I'm saying? The negative effects are the point. If they wanted to stop the measles outbreak, why would they lie about it? Why would they try to blame it on Mennonite Germans when they've brought in millions and millions of people from the countries that are measles hotspots? Because if you knew that the measles outbreak was caused by mass migration, you might not want mass migration anymore. To them, their superlative goal is to maximize migration. Nothing else really matters. The measles outbreak doesn't matter. It's just a weapon that they need to use. Or it's a potential vulnerability. Or instead of actually trying to contend with the fact that this is a negative consequence of their program, and trying to make the case like, yeah, look, measles outbreaks are coming back. Look, we're reviving diseases that we'd ended in this country 100 years ago, and they're coming back now because of our migration, but it's worth it because of all the benefits migrants give us. They can't really make that argument. They have to try to disguise what is really behind the measles outbreak. And not just disguise it, but use it to attack their ethnic enemies. It's like completely blackpilling to think that there are people that believe that. that like will read that article and there's like those damn Christian white people. Yeah, now they're causing measles outbreaks. What's next? Like they just, it's really crazy, man. It really is crazy. that it's really a constant across everything, right? I mean, this ties perfectly into what I was saying about Pete Buttigieg or whatever. It's like genuinely shocking how little they actually care about anything at all. They just don't. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. So Daily Romania on X posted a picture of this beautiful landscape in Romania and wrote, "You know what this place needs? 100,000 Bangladeshis." Romanian government, right? Pointing out the absurdity of these really beautiful, gorgeous places that have thrived in Europe for centuries and the desire of the powers that be to turn them all into Indian slums. Just as it just makes no sense on the face of it. But then you get a response to this. So again, what the Post was saying was, in effect, hey, Romania doesn't need 100,000 Bangladeshis. We're fine. We're fine, actually. Actually, we're doing okay. We got nice little villages hugged by soaring mountains. We got people that love each other. We don't need 100,000 Bangladeshis. Again, it's just, there's a literal infinite supply of Indians. Do we understand this? That a million Indians could be dropped in every continent on Earth, and there would still be a billion Indians in India. There's 1.4 billion Indians. There's 400 million Indians, over a billion. So we don't want a billion Bangladeshis in Romania. Why would we? Why would we want Romania to look like this? Is this a question I even need to ask? Okay, so the sentiment is not exactly an offensive one. Hey, our country is nice and has lots of beautiful nature, and we have no reason to bring in 100,000 Bangladeshis. Okay, pretty normal sentiment, I think, to have as a European. Now, in response to this, a Bangladeshi says, "Every time I see these racists cry, it fills my heart with joy. The more they demean us, the better I feel when their women and children are raped by Pakis and Bangladeshis." Okay. "The more they demean us, the better I feel when their women and children are raped by Pakis and Bangladeshis." The Post wasn't even insulting. The Post isn't even demeaning. The mere fact that you don't want your country overrun by Indians makes them say your child deserves to be raped by them. Do you understand the type of people that we're dealing with? Again, as a white person, maybe this is an aspect of my superiority. Maybe this is the superiority of whiteness shining through. That if some other country took a picture of their landscape and said, "We don't need 1,000 white people here," my response would not be, "I want your wife and children raped by white people for daring to disrespect us by saying you don't want to be around us." Like, that mindset is so deeply evil and objectionable and just anathema. Just, I can't even wrap my mind around who these people are. But like, that's like, this is pretty much like the common sentiment. "Every time I see these racists cry, oh, the Romanians," you know, those white supremacist Romanians, right? When you think about white supremacy, the Romanians are the one you think about, you know, standing astride the world, right? Romania is like a dirt poor country. Doesn't have a lot going for it, but does have natural beauty. And does have you know, European heritage. But, you know, none of that actually matters. They don't actually believe anything. They just want you dead. They just want you destroyed. They just hate you for being who you are and being better than them. Most of this is just pure, like, jealousy, envy. I mean, transmutes into hatred. But there's no reason for the hatred, right? If I just say, I don't want you around me, does that mean I hate you? Am I insulting you? I'm not saying I want you not to exist. I'm not saying I'm going to go to your country and make it like mine. Nothing offensive or aggressive or anything like that. It's just, hey, Romania is nice. We don't need 100,000 Bangladeshis. And in response to that, it's, I want your child to be raped by a Bangladeshi. Like, do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That, like, this is just, like, they just say this in public. They think this makes them righteous and good. To them, merely excluding them is basically the equivalent of raping a child. Like, that's, in their mind, that's how they feel. So, like, you don't, if you've ever needed a reason not to allow 100,000 Bangladeshis into your country, look at how they react when you tell them you don't want 100,000 Bangladeshis in your country. Like, what? Why would you want them here? Daily Romania responds, just posting this here so you understand what kind of people we will have to deal with in the future. Quote, if you don't want me in your country, I will be happy when your children and women get raped. Just posting this so you understand what kind of people we will have to deal with in the future when they're all living in your country. So again, I don't want Bangladeshis or Pakistani people to have their children raped. Apparently that's not a dignity they would share with me. And so at that point, you kind of just have to understand you don't owe these people anything, and you're really hurting yourself by giving them anything ever.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday the 29th to take advantage of the biggest sales yet at thealexshowstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only 3 or 4 of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect. But most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support. Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda. Featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision, this dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot more videos to show you. We're going to stick on immigration for a second here. I'm going to go to clip number 6. Again, especially in Europe, the people that have really paid the price for the migrant program are the white women, the European women, who have been brutalized to a really insane degree. And that is the point of this, right? I mean, maybe I'm some sort of genius that I figured this out and nobody else could. But what do you think happens when you bring in millions of military-aged men from Africa and the Middle East to Germany with no women? No women come along with them. The dinghies that you see, there's never... I mean, it's actually, like, crazy. Like, you would think that every once in a while there'd be, like, a woman that just happened to come along, but no, you see dinghies, hundreds, thousands of dinghies, these little inflatable boats crossing English Channel. And there's never a woman on them. So what do you think the purpose of that is? What do you think is driving their motivation to leave their women behind and go to Europe? Point being, that the reason the migration crisis is happening is to target white women. It is a biological attack against them. And it's sort of a pincer attack in a way. I don't know how to describe it, but they have actually indoctrinated the women of Europe into this idea that to be a good person, they have to welcome their victimizers. In order to be on the right side politically, you have to actually be in favor of the importation of your rapist. They've really done a number on these people. Luckily, some have seen this and have the confidence and, you know, outspokenness to actually reference what we can all see with our own eyes. Let's see, can we find a woman? Can we find a single woman? This is a video of several dinghies arriving in UK. I've not seen a single woman yet. Any women on this trip? Oh, wait, is that a woman there? I see one. Oh, two, three. I see three women. Okay, well, there's one. No, I see one. Two. I saw two. Okay, there's a crowd of about 500 people. I saw two women, okay? Two women. So. Anyway, let's go to this clip now. Clip number six, the threat of mass immigration towards women and girls is real. It is, in fact, the entire point of the immigration program. Try to breed Europeans out of existence. No joke, no exaggeration. That's literally what it is. That is why you have instances where you have, even just last week or so, there have been multiple instances of, you know, Afghan men raping a 15-year-old German girl and given no jail time and let out completely, literally, absolutely scot-free because they said the fact that he's a migrant, you know, really made him stressed. He didn't know that he's not supposed to rape people. So, sure, some little girl had to be, have her psychological security shattered and traumatized for life and violated in ways we can only imagine. She'll probably never feel safe or be able to engage in intimacy maybe ever again, but certainly for years as she deals with the trauma of this. But you know what? The guy was angry. So, you know, too bad. So too bad, girl. Too bad, German girl. You're just the sacrificial offering on the altar of multiculturalism. And so the guy just gets let out. Just that's it. Not even like, you know, sometimes they'll be like, well, they'll put him in jail for a year just as sort of a symbolic thing. But no, in this case, just let him out. By the way, the same judge who let the guy out for raping the 15-year-old also threw a 97-year-old man in prison because he was a guard at a Nazi camp when he was 17 years old at the end of the war. Okay, so this is the progressive liberal mindset. And just understand, it has, like, they're operating on a in a moral framework which is, there's no even trace or hint of things that you would typically associate with a moral framework. Things like justice, things like fairness, things like consistency. To me, these things are sort of incumbent. They're necessary to have a moral framework. You have to actually even just pay lip service to things like justice. Like you, these higher concepts have to be here too. They don't, that never even enters into their mind. Never even enters into their mind. They just, and look, whether like they even realize or not, there's like programmed Pavlovian almost to just like, they just want to destroy white people. And that's what all of their actions are predicated towards. Because it doesn't make any sense. Like, so she has sympathy for, this judge woman has sympathy for a migrant. She so empathizes with him that she's like, man, if I was a migrant, I'd be so confused. I'd be so scared of living in this white supremacist country that I would just rape a girl. And, you know, how mean would it be to then punish that person for doing something he doesn't even understand? They almost treat immigrants like babies, like maybe this is the motherly instinct being misaligned, or like dogs, like animals, where it's like you feel cruel punishing an animal when like they don't even know what they did was wrong, right? So that's how they feel. They feel like it's cruel to punish this poor, innocent person who didn't even know he was doing anything wrong. That's how well they empathize with some middle-aged Afghan raping a 15-year-old German girl. Now, I have no sympathy for any migrant in Germany at all, in any possible way. And in a way, you could say that's because I respect them. It's because I don't treat them like animals or babies. They're adult human beings. When they do something wrong, they should be treated like competent adult human beings because that's what they are. I don't treat them like babies. But I have absolutely no sympathy for them at all, even a little bit. And frankly, I think if one Afghan rapes a German girl, all of the Afghans in Germany should be expelled. Kind of an evil in that way. But it only makes sense. And it's the way other countries do things all the time. It's the way we used to do things, but not really anymore. So I have no sympathy for them. But when it comes to a 17-year-old in 1945, I can only imagine being a 10-year-old in Weimar Germany. I can only imagine growing up in your formative years, being inducted into the Hitler Youth, watching as your friends and family are sent off to the front line to die, watching your cities be firebombed and utterly destroyed and your entire communities turned into ash. And to again grow up entirely, your entire conscious life, your education, your spirituality, all of it being dictated to you by a totalitarian government. And at 17 years old, being forcibly conscripted into the armed forces, being forced to stand guard some godforsaken death camp on some frontier somewhere, only for 80 years later, some dumb bitch judge to throw you in jail because of what you did when you were 17, which was nothing, which was stand guard as a soldier because you had to, because they would kill you if you didn't. See, she has no empathy for him. Not even a modicum of sympathy for the 97-year-old man who, as a child, was forced to be a soldier for the Nazis. He gets the book thrown at him. He gets sent to prison. At 97 years old, he's sent to prison for years. But the migrant who rapes the 15-year-old, well, he can't be held to account for that. So I don't know. Is there anybody listening to my voice that would look at those two decisions and go, yep, that's it? Yeah, a German court has convicted a 97-year-old ex-secretary at a Nazi camp. There's a guy, too. This is the story of the woman. There was a guy they did it too. No, they. This is what they do. They're going around Germany, rounding up the 97-year-olds and throwing them in prison because they were guards at concentration camps 80 years ago. Against their will. It's like this is what I mean when I say, like, there's no, like, justice doesn't enter into this. It's not even a remote consideration for these people. It's just sort of basic hatred, like, just do what you can when you can to hurt your enemies. And that's that. Did we even go to clip number 6 yet? Let's go to it.
Let's talk about how the far right weaponized women's sexual trauma is a way to push far right, white supremacist and racist views.
No, let's talk about people like you, self-declared feminists that choose to ignore and quite clearly mock the cries of a nation that is quite literally about to implode. The bully tactic of calling us all racist, far-right, extremists simply bounces straight off us and only proves that you actively choose to twist and manipulate a movement that is based on the unity and strength of the British people, despite what we have been subject to for the past however many decades.
But they don't talk about the real issues harming women. They don't talk about the patriarchy, and they don't talk about rape culture, or they don't talk about misogyny. Instead, they create this boogeyman of an immigrant man coming and raping everyone.
You claim that rape culture and the patriarchy simply are not spoken about. Well, how about acknowledge that those crossing the channels do come from real patriarchal cultures that dismiss women as lesser than and treat them as such? You made the entire premise of your video about how immigrant men are demonized and wrongly targeted, despite knowing what we all know about migrant hotels up and down the country, and yet you want to lecture us on what misogyny is. I'll tell you what misogyny is. It's staring you straight in the face, but you are too swept up in your grandstanding to even see this. If you seriously think demanding the protections and safety for women and girls in the UK is pushing an agenda, then you have got a lot to learn. Real feminism rejects everything you say. Real feminism stands up in the face of threat.
And look, I'm glad there are these European women standing up for this stuff now. I think couching it in the language of the left is not necessarily productive. It's not feminism that protects women. No, feminism is led directly to all of, like, the concept of feminism is why we're in the position that we're in. I don't know, this idea of, like, the real feminists are against migration. It's like, nah, not really. Not really. Feminism is like a spiritual cancer that is destroying your countries and leads to things like mass migration, since it's primarily women that are behind these movements. And if women didn't have political agency, men would not let a million African men into their countries to rape their women. For some reason, women allow that. It's bizarre, but that's just how it is. That's just the case. So, I don't know, this idea of, like, the real feminists, it's like, no. The real patriarchy protects their women. You want patriarchy, actually. Actually, if you're in patriarchy, you wouldn't be allowed to vote for your own destruction. You'd be protected by the men. So it's not real feminism to want to stop migration. It's real nationalism. Nationalism protects women. Patriarchy protects women. The family protects women. The Western ideal protects women. Christianity protects women. Feminism destroys women. It only destroys women. It only leads to more policies that literally physically destroy women, as well as just the concept of womanhood. Let's go to clip number 5 here, because it's not just Europe this is happening. This is America as well. And again, the purpose of a system is what it does. If the people in power are bringing in a million foreigners to rape white women, then they're bringing in a million foreigners to rape white women. It's not an accident. Okay. Here's Stephen Miller.
Can you imagine getting a lecture on public safety from the party that has let child rapists and murderers into this country en masse? Do you have any idea how many little girls have been maimed and raped and killed by the illegal aliens that they let into our country, that they gleefully allowed into our nation? And they want to lecture us on public safety? They have destroyed the lives of countless thousands of Americans. And today, Democrats run sanctuary cities that protect and shield illegal aliens who have committed the most heinous crimes from deportation. In every one of these cases, look at the case right here. Right here, this CBP officer. His assailant was arrested and released, arrested and released, arrested and released, because Democrat policies shield these monsters from deportation by purpose and by design. Their policies are evil. They are intentional. They are malicious. They hate this country, and they want our people to suffer, and they have turned migration into a weapon. And when ICE and Border Patrol go out and conduct these raids, what do they find? Trafficked and enslaved children. They find offenders with rap sheets that go from here to the other side of the country, state after state, a trail of blood and suffering. And ICE and Border Patrol are getting these monsters out of our country, getting Thank these goodness. Predators out of our communities. Well, under President Trump's leadership, murder rates are finally falling because these people are being sent home.
At least Stephen Miller seems to be taking the well-being of the American people seriously. Got some more breaking news here. DOJ seeks Ghislaine Maxwell meeting. A top Department of Justice official said Tuesday that he intends to meet soon with Ghislaine Maxwell, the British socialite serving a 20-year prison term for her role in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking enterprise, to ask her, what do you know about other potential sex abusers? The extraordinary announcement by Deputy Attorney Todd Blanche comes after weeks of controversy and criticism of the Trump administration for recently reneging on promises to make public more details of investigative files about the late money manager Epstein and Maxwell. And we have this. House Oversight Committee subpoenas Ghislaine Maxwell for deposition. The House Oversight Committee unanimously approved a subpoena for the convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell in a surprise move Tuesday morning. The powerful committee subpoenaed the Jeffrey Epstein associate for a deposition by voice vote after Republican Tennessee Representative Tim Burchett introduced a motion. The move follows Attorney General Pam Bondi's announcement that she requested a meeting with Maxwell Tuesday to press her for additional information related to the deceased sex predator. Yeah, okay. Guys, what do you think that she's gonna say? This is nonsense. This is nonsense. So they're withholding terabytes of data from Jeffrey Epstein. CDs and DVDs and hard drives and computers and documents and folders and photographs, security camera footage, lists of associates, flight logs, visitor logs, communications, emails, telephone calls. They're not releasing that. They have all that information. They know everybody that he was involved with. They know everything that he did. Jeffrey Epstein filmed it, and our government collected all of the data. So why do we need to talk to Ghislaine Maxwell? What exactly is the purpose of this? This is a hoax. You want to talk about the Jeffrey Epstein hoax? It's this idea that we need to talk to anybody to learn the truth about it. Just release the files. Again, what is Ghislaine Maxwell going to tell anybody about anything? First of all, she's a Mossad operative. She's a liar. You shouldn't listen to her anyway. She's only there to muddy the water. But fine, fine. They'll ask her questions they already know the answers to. This is from Todd Blanche. The Department of Justice does not shy away from uncomfortable truths, nor from the responsibility to pursue justice wherever the facts may lead. The joint statement by the DOJ and FBI on July 6th remains as accurate today as it was when it was written, namely that in the recent thorough investigation or review of files maintained by the FBI in the Epstein case, no evidence was uncovered that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. President Trump has told us to release all credible evidence. If Ghislaine Maxwell has information about anyone who has committed crimes against the victims, the FBI and DOJ will hear what she has to say. Therefore, at the direction of Attorney General Pam Bondi, I have communicated with counsel for Ms. Maxwell to determine whether she would be willing to speak with prosecutors from the department. I anticipate meeting with Ms. Maxwell in the coming days. Until now, no administration on behalf of the department had inquired about her willingness to meet with the government. That changes now. Again, I mean, who cares? Honestly, who cares? they have all of the files. They have all the documents. They're not releasing them, but they're interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell. Yeah. I don't know. Am I wrong? I mean, is anybody excited for this? Oh my God, the sex trafficking lesbian pimp is gonna talk. Oh my goodness. Who cares? Honestly. We got some more reports here, but it's all nonsense. Maybe we need to go through like all of Trump's accomplishments and see if we can't do, you know, it's almost like the 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever, where it's like, is it true that we can just absolutely everything that Trump has done, we can relate to being for Israel? So obviously we've got the story about Trump pulling the U.S. out of UNESCO, and they talk about DEI policies, pro-Palestinian, pro-China tilt. Just like, well, it's for Israel. It's because UNESCO is helping Palestinians who Israel is trying to starve to death. So in order to allow the starvation to continue, Trump is pulling support from UNESCO. South Africa thing is another one. I mean, even stuff like putting real sugar in Coke, it's because it's, the high fructose corn syrup isn't kosher. Do y'all know that? So even the good stuff, that's like Trump got Coke to replace high fructose corn syrup with sugar. It's like, wow, because he cares about our health. It's like, wow, not really. It's because it wasn't kosher before. Now it's kosher. Is there anything? Is there anything he's done that isn't at the end of the day for the Jewish lobby? And of course, the answer is no, because anything that he has done that's positive, not directly for them, is just to give them a disguise.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.